God's word, and it is good for us to hear it read and to hear it taught. If you were not here last week, just telling you, you really missed out. Pastor Jeff preached, and if you don't know Pastor Jeff, he's one of our other pastors. He is a phenomenal preacher, and so if you would like to listen to it or watch it, you can go on YouTube, or you can find it on our podcast. It is great. You will be blessed whenever you listen to it or watch it. When I was in my tween years, as the kids say nowadays, which is like 11, 12, kids, I know that you don't actually say that. It's us adults who say it. Anyway, like 11, 12 years old, I was starting to form new thoughts and opinions that maybe my parents didn't share. And I remember this was a big deal at one point. And by the way, if you were a parent and you were going through this right now, it might be really hard for your family. I'm sorry to bring it up. I know it's probably a soft spot, but I'm going to talk about it. There was this one time where it really came to the forefront, where it was really evident that we had a different thought, a different understanding about something. My grandparents were coming into town from Tampa, and my mom was like, hey, we got to get this place clean. And she went into full drill sergeant, like commando house cleaner lady. I don't know if your mom ever did that, but she was giving us all these commands, things we had to do. And she looked at me and she said, Sean, you got to go clean your room. It looks awful. You have clothes everywhere. Your bed's not made. It looks like a bomb went off in there. To which I responded, yeah, an awesome bomb, because my room looks great right now. And she did not appreciate my attempt at humor. So you and her have something in common. And but like I had this thought. I had this opinion that I wanted to be known. And so after she told me to clean my room, I said, Mom, here's the thing. If I clean my room right now, it's just going to get dirty again tomorrow. And if I clean it tomorrow, it's just going to get dirty the next day. Don't you see? It's just a cycle. It's just a pattern that repeats. It's going to be clean, then dirty, clean, then dirty. So, Mom, I'm not going to clean it. I said, what's the point? What a deeply insightful question that I had when I was a little kid. What's the point? You know, this deep insight, this life-changing question that I put out there was met with a response that I did not expect from my mom. She said to me after that, just clean your room. What are you doing? And so I did. I went and cleaned my room. Now, this might have been about me trying to get out of cleaning my room, out of doing my chores, but it's still a really good question. What's the point? And I don't mean just a question that you apply to your chores. I mean a good question for a lot of things. What's the point? This is a question that we ask. What's the point of work? What's the point of knowledge? What's the point of accomplishments? What's the point of wealth? What's the point of pleasure? What's the point of all of this? What's the point of life? Well, there's a book in the Bible that addresses this question. And I know you might be asking that today. What's the point? And there are definitely people in our community who are asking that question, in the world who are asking that question. It's a question that has been asked since basically the beginning. What's the point? Well, the book that addresses this is the book of Ecclesiastes. And so we're going to start a study today of this book, at least the first few chapters of this book. And we're calling this study Searching for Purpose. And as we do this today, we're going to read the first few verses, the first 11 verses of this book, and they're going to give us answers to this question, what's the point? We're going to find three answers. And I'll tell you, they're answers that you're probably not expecting, answers that might make you pretty uncomfortable, answers that you don't know what to do with. But if you just stay with me, I think it'll make sense when we get to the end. So what's the point? Three answers that we see. Let's start with the first answer. What's the point? Number one, here's the first answer. Nothing matters. Have you ever been in a conversation, and when I say conversation, I actually mean an argument, where you're going back and forth with someone, and they kind of just get you. You know, they trap you, and you don't know what to say, and it's over. And then, like later, you're thinking, and you're like, oh, you know what I should have said? You're driving home hours after the fact, and it pops into your head, the perfect comeback. And so you say it out loud, but the person's not with you. It's you and your steering wheel. And that person in the car next to you is wondering why you're yelling at your cup holder. But you think of the perfect comeback. Well, that happened to me. Years and years and years after my mom told me to clean my room and I told her that it didn't make any sense, I read something that I felt like was the perfect comeback. It's actually in the Bible. So if you have your Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Absolute futility, says the teacher. Absolute futility. Everything is futile. So if I just would have had this verse 7 years before when my mom told me to clean my room, I just would have said, it's all futile. Why would I clean my room if it's futile? It's not going to change anything. Well, that's a word, futile, that we find 36 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, some translations, maybe the translation you're reading, says vanity, or it says meaningless, or it says empty. If you go back to the Hebrew, which is the original language, the Old Testament, the original language that Ecclesiastes is written in, you'll see that that word futility, it means vapor. It means a breath, a puff of air. And so here's the idea. Imagine that you take in a deep breath, like, and then you blow it out, and you wait a second, and then you try to catch that. Okay, you blow out your breath and you try to catch it and you try to put it back in your mouth. How's that going to work for you? It's not going to work. You're going to look ridiculous doing it. People are going to think something's wrong with you. Although there are some engineers in here going, well, if I had a Ziploc bag or possibly a chamber that I, okay, no, that's not what I mean. No, you're not going to be able to catch that breath after you have breathed it out and put it back in. Once you breathe it out, it's gone. You can't get it back. It's out of your control. It was real for a moment, but you can't hold on to it. It's futile to even try. It doesn't make sense to even try. Well, that's the word that Ecclesiastes uses to describe life under the sun. Absolute futility. Everything is futile. It's like trying to catch your breath once you've breathed it out. It's here for a split second, and then it's gone. And that's what the teacher says is like life. That's what life is like. The teacher's wrestling with this idea in the first few verses. He's saying if everything is fleeting, if everything is temporary, if it's hard to hold on to, if you can't actually get a hold of it, then what is the point? And here's what he's getting at. Nothing matters. And he goes on to explain the experience that all of us have had in life. He shows us that we know nothing matters. It's in verse 3. It says, what does a person gain from all his efforts that he labors at under the sun? In other words, you pour out all this energy, you try so hard, you give all of this effort, and what do you really have to show for it in the end? When you turn 95 years old, what do you have to show for it? And he drives it home in verse 4. A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. You know what that means? You work hard. You hustle. You build your life. You finally get to retirement after all of that, thinking, okay, now I will get to enjoy my life. Now I will get to enjoy the fruit of everything that I have worked for. But you know what happens? Your body betrays you. Instead of traveling to Europe, you're traveling to your orthopedist. You know, instead of hiking mountains like you dreamed of, you're hiking from your couch to the bathroom during commercial breaks. Instead of spending money on all the adventurous plans that you had, you spend it on Advil. You thought that your life was going to be spent, the rest of your life was going to be spent making memories, but instead, it's just spent making copays. And the truth is that 30 or 40 years from now, most people won't remember you or the work that you did. You'll be gone, and the world will just keep on going as if you were never here. So what did you gain from all of it? What did you gain from all your work? What's the point? Nothing matters. That's the first answer he gives us. But it's not the only answer that he gives us. what's the point? Or here's the second answer. Nothing satisfies. That's number two. Now look, I know. That first point was kind of a downer. You can say it out loud. We're in church. Second point is not going to really lift you up that much, but let's look at it. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 5. The sun rises and the sun sets. Panting, it hurries back to the place where it rises. Gusting to the south, turning to the north, turning, goes the wind, and the wind returns in its cycles. All the streams flow to the sea. Yeah, the sea is never full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. So here's what the teacher says. You want to know what the point is to all this? Well, look at nature. And what you'll see is the sun. You know, the sun, it rises and it sets. And you know what happens the next day? It does it again. It rises and it sets. The sun never says, you know what? I think I've done my job. I've risen and set enough, so I'm done here. I'm going to take off the next few months, hang out in the Bahamas for a little bit. No, the sun doesn't do that. Instead, it just keeps going. It rises and sets. Or think about the wind. It blows north. It blows south. It blows east. It blows west. Sometimes it blows in all those directions, and it blows your trash can down the street, leaves you chasing after it in your socks, hoping that your neighbors don't see you. It just keeps blowing. It doesn't matter how it blows, which direction, how hard. It doesn't matter if it blows in all the directions at once. Guess what happens? It just keeps going. It never goes, all right, well, that's enough for me. I'm done now. No, the wind keeps blowing. Or think about the rivers and the streams. They're constantly flowing into the ocean, but the ocean, it's never full. There's never a time where they get there and they're like, oh, good, we finally did it. After all of our trying, we have filled up the ocean. Let's go do something else now. No, the rivers and the streams, they just keep flowing. It never ends. So what's the point? The sun, the wind, the rivers, they're never done. They're never satisfied. And the teacher says, that's what life is like too. Nothing satisfies. Now, this is written by Solomon, who was king in Israel. And he was very, very wealthy. In fact, he was the wealthiest person on earth at the time. So he could buy just about anything that he wanted. Now, he wanted the best food. It was DoorDashed to his door in just a few minutes. He wanted a new vehicle, or the latest camel, or I don't know what else they rode. I don't know. A chariot was then delivered to him. He wanted entertainment. Well, he didn't have to scroll through Netflix for 30 minutes like we do before just giving up because now it's too late to watch anything. No, he had acrobats. He had musicians. He had comedians right there in his living room to perform. No ads, no buffering. He wanted to build something. He didn't have to have a Home Depot credit card. He owned everything. He owned the entire supply chain. He wanted to go on vacation. He didn't have to book a hotel. He would just build a palace in that place he wanted to go. You see, he had everything. Power, wealth, food, drink, luxury. And what does he say about it all? Verse 8. All things are wearisome, more than anyone can say. The eye is not satisfied by seeing, and the ear filled with hearing. He's saying, look, I've done it all. I've had it all, and it still leaves you empty. You're not going to feel great after you have everything. It's wearisome. Nothing satisfies. And we know exactly what he means by that. Because we've experienced that too. Have you ever watched like a full series of a television show or something like that? Television show, who even says that anymore? Of a show. Have you ever watched maybe when you were young, it was something like the Andy Griffith Show. You've watched every episode, or maybe it was Cheers or The Office or Yellowstone, something like that. Have you ever watched something all the way through? Maybe not all at once, but have you ever watched every episode? Well, now it's really easy to do that. You know, you can turn on Paramount Plus and watch an entire series in a weekend and then feel great and also ashamed of yourself all at once. Maybe you've done it. Maybe you've watched a full series. When you got to the end, I know for a fact what you did not say. You did not go, oh man, I finished it, so that's it. I'm not watching TV ever again. I am done with entertainment. This has hit the spot for me forever. No, you don't say that. You get to the end of that series, and before the credits even run, you're going, okay, what should I watch next? Please recommend something to me. Right? You know why? Because the eye is never satisfied. It's never full by watching. Or the ear filled with hearing. Nothing satisfies. You always want more. You always want newer. You always want better. You always want smarter. You always want faster. You always want shinier. And Solomon says, take it from me, the guy who had everything. Nothing under the sun will fill you. What's the point? Nothing satisfies. So that's the second answer that he gives to that question. And then there is a third answer that he gives. What's the point? Number three, nothing's new. Nothing's new. Now, I know what you're thinking right now. Sean, you should just make Hallmark cards out of these three points that you... It is so encouraging. Okay, I get it. Sarcasm hurts a little bit, but I understand why you feel that way. But here's the thing. These aren't my points. These are Solomon's points. These are the teacher's points. And look what he says in Ecclesiastes verse or chapter 1, verse 9. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Can one say about anything, look, this is new. It has already existed in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of those who came before, and of those who will come after, there will be no remembrance by those who follow them. You know what the teacher's saying? Life is like the world's longest rerun. You know, it's like when your favorite show reboots or something like that. Well, they might change the actors. They might change the scenery a little bit. They might even change the theme song. But the show is still the same. The point of the show is still the same. He's saying life is like that. We're seeing the same story over and over, the same story that we have seen since the beginning, since Genesis. And you know this, every generation feels like they have finally cracked the code to life. And they say, okay, we've got it this time. We're smarter. We're more advanced. We have oat milk now. Now, we've figured out how to milk an oat. I don't know how that works, but obviously, we have got it. We've arrived. And we roll our eyes at the people who came before us. But you know what the people who come after us will do? They'll roll their eyes at us. You know, we make fun of the people who have come before us. Well, people who come after us, they got a lot to make fun of. They'll make fun of us for TikTok dances and pumpkin spice everything and our obsession with water bottles. Like, they have so much ammunition. They will do to us what we have done to the people who come before us. They'll look at us the same way. You know why? It's a cycle. Nothing's new. Well, Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun. And if you think about it, he's absolutely right. Yeah, we invent new gadgets, but we're still distracted. Because people used to stare out a window, not a phone screen. Or we have streaming services now, but the ancients had binging too. They would just read these things called epic poems that were like very, very long. We watch TV shows like that. Or we think online dating is different because, you know, it really gives us a good match. It recommends someone who we would really like. But there's always been an Aunt Mildred who's like, I just know the perfect person you need to meet. You see, it's not different. It's a cycle that repeats over and over. Nothing's new. And then verse 11 comes in with this reality check. Look at it with me. There is no remembrance of those who came before, and of those who will come after, there will also be no remembrance by those who follow them. Nobody remembers for long. We work so hard to leave our mark, But a few generations from now, we're just gone. Maybe your great-grandparents or your great-great-grandparents came here to America. Or maybe they moved from one state to another. And whenever they did that, they were thinking, you know what, I'm going to start a new life. I'm going to do something that my parents before me had not done. And so they made this big change. But let me ask you, do you know your great-great-grandparents' names? Probably not. And even if you do know their names, do you know if they preferred coffee or tea? Do you know what made them laugh? Do you know which cousin really annoyed them at the family reunion? You don't know that stuff, do you? Because they're gone and they're forgotten. So what's the point? Ecclesiastes says, you can change your situation, but you can't change the fact that you will be forgotten. You can upgrade your gadgets, but you can't upgrade the human condition. We're still looking for meaning in the same old places. And every new thing that we think will finally do it ends up just being the same thing in a shinier box. What's the point? Nothing's new. That's the third and final answer that we get from Solomon, from the teacher, to that question. Now, maybe you're here and you're thinking, I just needed some encouragement, so I came to church today. Well, you picked the wrong day. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, you feel like you've just had a guided tour of futility and you're getting a souvenir t-shirt with nothing matters, you know, and here we are. Or maybe you are here today and you're asking, yeah, what is the point? That is the question I know. What is the point of me being here through this really depressing talk that you're giving? I get that. And if we're honest, we feel that way for a reason, because this doesn't seem like a very Christian message, does it? I mean, where's the hope? Where's the optimism? Where's the good news? Here's the thing. Ecclesiastes does not give that to us. So how on earth are you supposed to understand this? How are you supposed to answer this question? Here's what I want you to know today. We're starting this series through Ecclesiastes, and this is going to help us for the next several weeks. In order to understand Ecclesiastes, you need to read it with Jesus glasses on. In order to understand Ecclesiastes, you need to read it with Jesus glasses on. Have you ever done a puzzle before? Like a jigsaw puzzle, you know what I'm talking about? Okay, three of you have, then thank you for nodding. You know what it's like. You pour out all the pieces, and it's really fun, it's really engaging, it's really challenging, until you hit that point. You get to that point, and you're like, oh my goodness, they obviously did not give me the right pieces for this puzzle. And what you end up doing is you just flip over the table in frustration, and the pieces fly everywhere. I mean, it's not your fault that corner piece got lost. It probably was never put in there in the first place. You know what it's like. It like eats at your soul when you can't find the pieces, when you can't finish the puzzle. Well, imagine that you have to finish a puzzle that you were given. And you get it, and you start working on it. And then about an hour and a half in, you realize they only gave you half of the pieces that you need. There is no way that you are going to be able to finish it. How would you feel? Confused? Frustrated, infuriated? You'd feel that way because you don't have what you need to complete it. That's what Ecclesiastes is like without Jesus. If we are trying to read through it and we don't have Jesus, it's all going to be confusing. Your questions aren't going to be answered. It's going to be incomplete. But if you read Ecclesiastes with Jesus in mind, it will make sense. There's a phrase back in verse 3 that said, under the sun. And that's a phrase that occurs a lot in this book, 29 times, in fact. And what it's showing us is that a lot of this book is written from a human perspective. It's trying to understand life by human thinking. But this is probably the biggest message of the book. You can't understand life by human thinking. You need God's perspective. You don't need an under-the-sun view. You need an above the sun view of life. And this is where Jesus comes in. Because Jesus lived under the sun. He entered the world where we feel futility and frustration. He experienced things that make us ask, what's the point? He got hungry. He worked a job. He got tired. He wept at gravesides. He felt betrayal and loneliness. See, Jesus didn't just float above all of this. He stepped right into it. But here's the difference. Jesus didn't just live under the sun. He came from above the sun. He came from eternity. He came from heaven, which means that he could give us what Ecclesiastes longs for but can't find on its own. So the question, what's the point, has to be answered through Jesus. And here's what I mean. If we think through the answers we've been given, it will make sense. So that answer, nothing matters. Well, Jesus says, your life matters so much that he gave his life to save you. And then he makes your work matter. He gives eternal significance to what you do. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. In Christ, even the smallest act of faithfulness is not wasted. Everything matters in Jesus. Or the answer, nothing satisfies. Well, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus is the only one that can fill that hole in your heart that pleasure and success and money cannot possibly fill. Jesus satisfies. And the answer, nothing's new. Well, Jesus says, I make all things new. In fact, if you have faith in Christ, you are a new creation. You have a new identity. You have a new heart, a new future, a new hope. You are new in Jesus. So what's the point? Jesus is the point. Without him, Ecclesiastes is right. Everything is futile. Everything is wasted. Everything is empty. Everything is frustrating. But with Jesus, everything changes. Jesus is the point. So friend, maybe you've been searching for answers under the sun. You've tried to find the point in different places. You've tried to find the point in your career, in your relationships, in your achievements. And you know, just like Solomon, that all of this stuff leaves you empty. Well, don't give in to despair. Don't just give up. Instead, lift your eyes to Jesus, who is the point. And let me ask you, have you trusted in him? If you have never trusted in Jesus as your Savior, then you will never know the point of everything. You see, you were created by God to be in a relationship with him. You have this longing for God that is part of your nature. But because of sin, because you have sinned, your relationship with God is broken. You have run from him. You have disobeyed him. And that longing that you have for him is not satisfied. And there's nothing that you can do to fill that longing, to meet that longing. There's nothing that you can do to bring yourself back to God. You still want him, though. That's why you're searching for purpose. That's why you're asking the question, what's the point? Because you're longing for God. But here's the good news. Jesus left heaven and came to earth to show you the point. He showed us who God is. He lived the perfect life. He died the sacrificial death in our place to pay for our sins so that we could be forgiven and so that we could have a relationship with God and so that we could know the point of all of this. So if you have never trusted in Jesus, this is your moment. Come to him now. He offers you salvation. He offers you forgiveness freely. Come to him and say, I know I'm a sinner. I know I have done wrong, but forgive me based on who Jesus is and what he has done. And if you trust in him in your heart, your sins will be forgiven and you will know the point of all of this. Maybe you have questions about that. Maybe you want to talk to someone about that. that's the case, I'm going to be standing right down here as we sing this last song, waiting for you. Come as everybody else is singing. And I'm going to be hanging down here after the service, waiting to talk with you. But don't leave here today without trusting in Jesus and knowing the point. But maybe you have already trusted in Jesus, and yet you're living as if the point is still under the sun somewhere. You've been trying to find your meaning in your work and your success and your hobbies, maybe even your family. And deep down, you know that it's not enough. Well, friends, Ecclesiastes is reminding you to lift your eyes back to Jesus. In Him, everything matters. In Him, you are satisfied. In Him, you are made new. So maybe the response for you today is not to trust in Jesus for the first time, because you've already done that. But the response is to come back to Him again. Maybe your response is to repent of chasing purpose in the same old empty places. Maybe your response is to come back and say, Jesus, you are the point. You are my satisfaction. You are my purpose. So don't just nod your head to the truth. Instead, live like it this week. Seek Him. Trust Him. Walk with Him. And let Him be the point of everything you do. So I'm going to pray for us, and we are going to respond by singing. We're going to sing praises to the One who is the point. Would you pray with me? Father, this is a tough passage to read. It's confusing when we read it at first, but we can relate to it. And so thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that we have the answer, that we know Jesus is the point. And so I pray, Lord, that we would stop searching in other places for these things. I pray that we would find our satisfaction in You alone. If there's someone in here right now who has not trusted in Jesus for forgiveness, I pray, Lord, that You would grab a hold of their heart, that they would see their sin, their need for a Savior, and the gift of grace that is freely offered to them right now in Jesus. And may they respond in faith. Let it be, Lord, for Your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.